He won't. I'll tell you later. I'm very frustrated with him too, but you know.
I mentioned it.
That's his nation. That's his nation.
I know. I mentioned it to him. So he says, I'll speak to them about it after Davening. I said, why are you after Davening? No, before Davening. Because nobody's here.
Yeah, they come late.
Because I'd like to study a sugya with you within the framework of our series here on Messias Kapayim, which is coming to a close. In Sota Daf Lamites, the Gemara tells a story which seems to be an agadah, though. But I think it has halachic implications.
I think we need to close the door.
Yeah, we close the door. Shalu Talmido v'Srab Lozim ben Shavua v'meh herach the yom. What schus do you have for arichas yomim? Omol lahem. And he said to them, Niyomai lo asisi beis ha-kneses kapandria lo pasati al roshe am kodesh lo nasati kapai below. Below bracha. So we're obviously focusing on the last of the three. What does it mean? He wasn't nosi as kapa below bracha. So the Gemara says, "My mevarech." What bracha did he recite? Amrav zera, amrav chiz. Asher kishonu sosav. Asher kishonu b'tushaso shel Aaron v'tzivonu levarech as amo Yisrael v'ahava. And then the Gemara goes on to say, more than that, ki akar kare mai omar. So let's take a look at Rashi for a moment. Vamer achta yomin eizes chus biyodcha asher achta yomin. Okay, Kapandri Rashi says, lekatzer darko derpe sakneses likonit chesav zelot is kenegdon. Fine. Then Rashi says, below bracha, if you skip fast forward a little bit, lo nasati kapoy levarech hashikoinoi below bracha, bracha de mefarish viozl mai mefarech, v'chi akar kare ba'avoda, in the bracha ba'avoda, he moves himself forward, lemesek to go up, and prepare himself for birchas kohanim, hu machzir ponov klape hateva. So he's looking at the teva. He hasn't yet faced the tzibur to be mevarech. My Omar, what does he say? And getting back to the Gemara, Yehi rotzal milfanecha Hashem alukenu shetehei bracha zu shetzivisanu levarech esamuch Yisrael lo yeheba michshal v'av. The Gemara is not finished. V'chi mahader ape mitzibura my Omar. When he finished with the bracha, we'll see Rashi in a second, and he turns himself away from the tzibur, what did he say then? Rashi says, "Shegomer berchosav, machzer ponov letzada teva, ad sheyigmar shliach tzibur, amavarech es amo Yisrael, bashalom." And then he makes the bracha, he raises, shall we say, a tefillah, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch, you know what? Asinu Masha Gazarta Aleinu, we did what we were commanded to do. Asay Imanu Masha Taftanu, quoting the Pasuk, Hashkifa Mima'on Kochcha Min HaShamayim. Rashi says, Shetaskim Al Yodeinu Kirichsiv Vani Vani Avarchem. This whole sugya makes no sense. The Gemara is asking, what midas chasidus can Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua claim on his own behalf? What merit that gave him and granted him the bracha of arichas yomim? A great midas chasidus lo nasa kapa v'lo bracha. I mean, shkoyach, every mitzvah requires a bracha. I'll call it mitzvahs kulon. The Gemara says in Pesachim Dav Zayin, nivarchen aleihem over lasi yosan. So that Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua is really doing exactly what we do and what every one of us does before every mitzvah. And not only that, if we're going to assume that for some reason this is a big deal, that Nesias Kapayim is different than other mitzvahs, and really it doesn't deserve a bracha. Rav Lossman Shavua was the one who somehow instituted this bracha. I don't understand the next question of the Gemara. The Gemara says that what did he say when he went up to be Mavarech? How does the Gemara know that he said anything? And then the Gemara asks, well, what did he say when he got out and he finished the bracha? He went down. How does the Gemara know that he said anything? There are three premises here in the Gemara, none of which seem to make sense at the face of it. Premise number one is that it was a big deal, a Midas Chasidus, you know, he gets a special medal, Rav Lozman ben Shavua, for reciting a bracha before Birchas Kohen. Why is that so? L'chora, every bracha, every mitzvah requires a bracha. Premise number two, before he started his Birchas Kohen, he must have recited something. Why does the Gemara assume that premise? And finally, the third question is, what about the premise of the Gemara that after he gets down, after he finishes the bracha, he has to recite something or other? The whole sugya is a pella to me. I just want to point out to you, Rabosai, that I have this kasha over and over and over again. I think that Nesias Kapayim is just one case in point, but really this kasha should be asked again and again. I want to start with the mitzvah of shofar. There's a balamar in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that's very important. The balamar says that the minhag of tkiyas shofar, as we know it, this back over 1,000 years ago, as we know it today, says the balamar, is not the original minhag. There's a change in the minhag. Lo haya kein, he says, bimei rabosenu chachmei Talmud, and he says this entire minhag of what we call Tkios de Miyushav, which means the Seder at Tkios before the Shmoneh Esrei, before the Musaf. It's Sheyoshvim, Mevarchem Aleim, Birchas at Tkios. All that, he says, is Lo Hoya B'Yemei Rabosenu Chachmei HaTalmud. El Aminagu Shenhigu Doros Achronim. This came much later. Mishum Cholin, Mishum Anusim, Dekadmi V'Nafki M'Beis HaKnesses. There are those who have to leave early from synagogue, they're not feeling well, there are other pressures, and therefore they won't be able to listen to the shofar blowing in Musaf. Falonatri, they cannot delay their exit from the shul ad si Musa de Musafi until they can hear the Tfilas Musaf. And Tfilas Musaf, they're probably not going to daven via chidus. That itself is an interesting issue. And he quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah about the Gzeira of the Romans, that they would come in and they would make sure that the shofar wasn't being blown. So Klal Yisrael did a kunz and they delayed the shofar blowing to integrate it into Musaf. So that's why, says the Balamar, this minhag changed and evolved with a shofar blowing, which is called the Tkios de Miyusha, before Musaf. Says the Balamor Lefichach on the fourth line, Hikdimu Bishvilan Elu Atkios Dimiyushav. They had to have a set of tkios that were much earlier than Musaf. And again, these tkios didn't exist back in the days of the Chachmei Talmud. And not only that, once in the Doros Achronim, they instituted this minhag of tkios Dimiyushav, together with the tkios Dimiyushav in Higu, they added another embellishment to this minhag. And that is Levarech Aleihem Birchas HaTkiyah B'Matbea Kotzar, what we call a Birchas HaMitzvah, the Matbea Kotzar, as opposed to the Malchiyah Zekronah Shofas, those brachos that are instituted as part of the very fabric of the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei. And that minog, fascinating, that minog of making a brach on tkios is only a result of the fact that this new custom evolved of Tkiyas de Miyushav, right? And that's clear, I think, in the language of the Balamar. Hikdimu bishpilon elu at Tkiyas de Miyushav in higu levarech aleihem bracha katzara. And he says it even more explicitly, if you take a look about three lines later, he says, ein bracha, right? Ein, I'm always thinking when I hear those beeps of the shofar. The ein bracha matbea katzar b'shofar. There is no bracha in a short form, meaning a classic birchas hamitzvah with regard to shofar. Ella mi minhag achronim. It only evolved subsequently, when the people had to leave synagogue early before Musaf, they made this minhag that they should blow shofar, at least they could hear shofar, tkios, to be yushar. So that's the minhag achronim. Aval ikar brachos, hey brachos shel tefillah. The brachos themselves are really what? Not the birchas bracha ktsar that we bless before the shofar blowing of tkios to the yushav, but in the original minhag, the only brachas they had were what? Bracha shel tefillah, vei malchi yisachrono shofaros. And that's what the Gemara refers to when it speaks about bracha and shofar. This is gevaldig chiddush of the Baal Amor. And he, I'll be with you in a second now. I just want to see what the Baal Amor has to say, and then we'll see what Alan Kerwine has
to say. No, I just have a question.
Avol be'emes, ein lanu bracha birchas hatkia. There is no bracha on the mitzvah tkiyas shofar. Mi divrei rabosenu. In other words, if you go back to the Talmud, ela bracha shel tefillah dilvad. All we have are the bracha shel tefillah. Again, just to summarize the Baal Amor, it comes out that Nesias Kapayim is not the only mitzvah that doesn't deserve a bracha. We have another case in point of a mitzvah that doesn't deserve a bracha. And the Asher Kitshon mitzvos of the Tzivano that we said is dictated by the Gemara Pesachim before every single mitzvah, with the exception of shofar. Says the Baal Amor, shofar doesn't have a bracha. The Lashon B'Matbea Kotzar. In fact, that bracha only, we're familiar with it only post-Talmud. At the time of the Talmud, they didn't have such a bracha. And the Baal Amor says it's only when they instituted this takana, this minhag of Kiyos Deviyushav, that's when we find a new brand new bracha, B'Matbea Kotzar, called Birchas HaMitzvah on Tekiyah Shofar. So now Rav Osir, you have two examples. Sometimes if you ask the Kasha as many times as you can, then maybe you could find a pattern as to which mitzvahs are exceptional and don't require a bracha. Is this mine or yours?
It's not mine.
Okay, so if it's not yours, I'm assuming
Rabbi,
it's
why
mine.
Did you make all this
it does have
announcement?
It has to show for us and Zichronos. It's not, but what kind of bracha does...
Okay,
yeah. But
we're going to get to that. But what happened to the bracha ktsara asher kitshanu mitzvosu tzivon al tkiyas shofar? Says the Baal Amor, there is no such bracha except as a result of the doras achronim that inhigu et aminag of brachos al seder, you know, shalal seder al brachos, but rather al brachos, what we call tkiyas to be yushav. That's when the bracha on shofar emerged.
Why did they make all this big announcement that they say if you shouldn't talk after you make the bracha for the shofar?
That's because once we have the minhag of tkiyas to miyushav, then that bracha now is chal on the tkiyas to miyushav. The tkiyas miyushav becomes, shall we call it, if you pardon the phrase, the kickoff of the mitzvah of shofar, and a completion of the mitzvah of shofar. Again, it's all mishum minhag. Is the mea kolos, which we don't reach that combination until maybe in Kaddish or after Kaddish, whatever.
Then you're also deraisa with
the oh, for sure. In fact, midin Talmud, there is no birchas mitzvah, so you're not going to make this bracha. You're not going to make this announcement. Klapper for tish, don't be mafsik after the bracha. There was no bracha. That's the pell of the Baal Amor. Now I have example number three. Another example. The Rush says in Masechta Brachos, we've seen this in the past, that according to Rashi, this is Rashi at the very beginning of Masechta Brachos, when we read Kriyat Shema before Tzeis, that was the minhag to read Kriyat Shema and Ma'ariv before Tzeis in the Beis HaKnesses, Rashi says you have to make sure to repeat Kriyat Shema a second time. That's called Kriyat Shema Alamita. And Rashi says he takes Latzeis in order to fulfill his mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Bizman. And then the Rush says, V'chein kasav Rav Amram Zal, and one of the Gaonim says the following, Rav Amram, She'tzorech levarech, asher kitshan mitzosav tzivanu, al kriyach makshu kore lifnei mitosav. In other words, now that we have the need to add another kriyach ma, not just the kriyach ma in Ma'ariv, but the kriyach ma l'amita, which is a separate kriya, according to Rashi, and apparently Rav Amram Gaon, this is the Kiyum Doraisa of Bishovacha, which means after Tzeis HaKochavim, and he did not obtain that Kiyum when he recited Kriyat Shema in Ma'ariv. he's now got to repeat Kriyat Shema L'Amita, says Rav Avram Goin, and on that Kriyat Shema L'Amita, he's going to recite Asher Kitshonim Tzolsim Tzivonu al Kriyat Shema, which means the Birchas HaMitzvah, the Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema B'Mabeah Kotzar, but only because he was not Yotze, the Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, when he recited Kriyat Shema in Meiriv, because before what? Before Tzeisako Chavin. It comes out that according to the Rosh, in the name of Rav Amram Goin, we're in a real bind here as far as the question of a Birchas HaMitzvah on Kriyat Shema. On the one hand, Rav Amram Goin seems to have an agenda that we should be reciting Birchas Kriyat Shema for the Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. But on the other hand, he admits that we only do so if need be, and that is with regard to Kriyat Shema L'Amita. Why? Why should Kriyat Shema be different than any other mitzvah, that it shouldn't deserve a Birchas HaMitzvah, a Bracha Ketzara, and Rav Amram Goin only has it in that, well, I shouldn't say rare occasion, because it was a daily occasion in which you dav in Meiriv too early, you read Kriyat Shema without before Tzeisak HaKavim, now we're going to need the Bracha. But if not for that problem, there would be no bracha. In fact, we don't even know of such a bracha. When was the last time anyone in this room recited Asher Kitshonim Mitzivanu Likros and Kriyat Shema? I don't remember ever saying. Maybe it's my fault. I don't know. I want to give a fourth example of a mitzvah that I know of that doesn't have a Birchas HaMitzvah. And that's the mitzvah of the Gadata Labincha of Sipri Yitzias Mitzrayim. There is no brach Asher Kitshonim Mitzosim Tzivonu L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, even though the Rambam in Perek Tes Mehilchos Chametz U'Matzah codifies the mitzvah as one of the Taryag, and he has it in Sefer Mitzvahs, to be Mekayim the mitzvah of the Gadata Labincha B'Mesaper B'Nisim V'Niflos. So what do we have? We have Kiddush, and we have Dalit Kosos, and we have the Bracha Asher Golanu V'Gola Samoseinu, but Asher Kitshonim Mitzosim V'Tzivonu, that we don't have. In fact, the Avudraham is famous for asking another kasha. On Dalit Kosos we don't make a Bracha Asher Kitshonim Mitzosim V'Tzivonu. And then he writes V'Yim Tomer, and if you'll say it's a mitzvah D'Rabbanon, but on Morar, which is a mitzvah D'Rabbanon, we have a Bracha Asher Kitshonim Mitzosim V'Tzivonu. Why not on Dalit Kosos? So on both sides, basically, we have a list, I think, of five mitzvahs that don't seem to require bracha. I mean, maybe they do have a bracha, but only as a chiddush. The chiddush of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, the Midas Chassidus of the bracha Nesias Kapayim, the Baal Amar, in the case of our new minhag, so to speak, new, it's no longer new, of blowing the shofar b'mi yushav, and therefore that engenders a bracha of b'mat be'ah kotzer. We have the Rosh in the name of Rav Amram Goin, that if he wasn't Yotze initially Kriyat Shema before Tzeis, when he recites Kriyat Shema later, he's going to be mevarech a bracha ketzara. And we have the case of Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim that doesn't have a bracha in the Matvea Kotzar. And finally, the Avudraham's Kasha of Dalit Kosos.
Can I add two more?
What else?
Birkat HaMazon.
Excellent. Birkat HaMazon.
Kiddush.
And Kiddush. And what else? Once you're on the
roll.
And you're on the roll. And Birkas HaTorah. Birkas HaTorah every morning the Rambam has as a mitzvah d'oraisa, and yet there is no bracha on Birkas HaTorah. Shekichon Tzolsu Tzivonu Levarech Al HaTorah Kishem Hashem Ekra Hohu Godol Elokeinu.
What about Tefillah itself?
And what about Tefillah itself? It's not from both sides. What do you see from this entire presentation? What kind of mitzvah does not get a bracha?
Part of brachas itself.
Exactly. If it's within the framework of a Seder of brachos, then it doesn't get a separate bracha. And that's what the Baal Amar means. That if Tkiyah Shofar, as Mitch was saying before, is incorporated into the Seder of Musa, of Al Seder of brachos, with Malchus, Zephonos, and Shofros, once we integrate the Shofar into a Seder of brachos, it doesn't get its own bracha. And I was wondering, why is this so?
But Maror does.
What do you say?
Maror does.
We'll get tomorrow, we'll get to matzah, we'll try to answer all the questions, but why is it that if you have a bracha that's within a framework of brachas, it doesn't deserve a bracha? After all, the framework of brachas is a different kind of bracha. It's really a birchas shemach v'odoya, like Malchus Zichron Shofros, and let's talk a little bit about the bracha Kriyat Shema, right? Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah that we fulfill within a framework of brachos, which is called Birchas Kriyat Shema. But if you look at Birchas Kriyat Shema, you won't find Asher Kitzonim Mitzvos Mitzivanu. Right? It doesn't reflect the nature of a Birchas Mitzvah.
It would be Eilat Avraham.
It's Shevach Vodoya. Why does the Shevach Vodoya, once it sets up a Seder HaBrachos, replace the need for a Birchas Mitzvah? And I see this over and over again. We'll get to Nesias Kapayim in just a minute. In the case of Alamar, it's Al Seder HaTfilah, that's Shofar. In the case of Rav Amram Gon in Kriyat Shema, it's Al Seder Birchas Kriyat Shema. In the case of Haggadah Shel Pesach, we could say that Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of a Seder HaBrachos. Why is Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim part of a Seder HaBrachos? Because how do we fulfill the mitzvah of Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim? With Kiddush. In fact, some say that once you recited Kiddush and you mentioned Zeichel Etz Yisrael, you were Yotze the mitzvah. That's the famous Nesivus. It's a difficult sheet of the Nesivus. And not only that, you have the Shtia of Dalit Kosos, which is part of CPC's Mitzrayim.
The second course,
and Magid, which culminates with what? What's the end of the second course? Asher Golan of Begolas Avoseinu. So it means, how do we fulfill the mitzvah of CPT's Mitzrayim? We do so within a framework, a Seder, a whole series of brachos. And perhaps one could say that the same logic applies even to Dalit Kosos. Again, for this we have to go into a whole discussion, which is not for now, about Bori Priya Gofen. But certainly the Minhag Ashkenaz is that on every single one of the four Kosos, we mevarech Bor Pri HaGofen. And the Sfaradim asked the Kasha, this goes back to Rishonim, why does every one of the four Kosos need its own Birchas HaGofen? Maybe the first and the third would need it, but not the second and the fourth. But the answer is that Bor Pri HaGofen in Dalit Kosos is not just a Birchas HaMatir, a Birchas HaNenim in the classical sense, but it's actually part and parcel of the mitzvah. And if so, the mitzvah of Dalit Kosos also requires a recitation of brachos. And if the mitzvah itself is formulated or fulfilled within the Seder of brachos, it doesn't get its own Birchas HaMitzvah. That would apply again to Birchas HaMazon and to Tefillah and to Birchas HaTorah. But what's the Yisod? So I saw once in the Chasdei David. Are you familiar with the Chasdei David? In the back of the Gemaras, there's a reprint of a sefer called the Chasdei David. The Chasdei David, his name is Rav David Pardal. He wrote a super commentary, Chasdei David, on the Mishnah, on the Tosefta, on the Brises. And in the fourth parak of Brachos, it says the following. It says that a person has to be Asal Yodam, the Tosefta's language, I'm just quoting it from memory, Asal Yodam Lenos Miolam Azeblo Bracha. And then it says V'chein Birchas HaMitzvus. So the Chasdei David wants to understand, what's V'chein Birchas HaMitzvus? You started with Birchas HaNenim and then you concluded in the Tosefta with Birchas HaMitzvus. The Chasdei David has a thesis. It borders on Drush, I don't know, but he says it al pi halacha. He says that in Kachim we have two categories of Kachim. We have what's called Kedushas Damim, and then we have a higher level, a much more profound level of Kedusha, which is called Kedushas Haguf or Kedusha Mizbeach. And he says the following, that when you have kachim and you want to be matir the kachim, then you need what's called a pidyon. And the same thing by mirror imaging it, in the case of being nenem in olam hazeh, if you want to benefit from this world, so the pasuk says ki lashem arutz, lashem arutz umoloa, and lashem is always, he says, lashem hegdesh. Like for example, if I want to be magdish this, I say it's lashem, lashem ola, lashem karvan, and so forth and so on. So he says that the whole world has a halachic status. I think you have to take him literally of kachim. And if that be the case, if you want to be Nenem in Olam Hazeh, you have to be Poda the Kachim. And he says that the pinion of the Kachim is what? It's the bracha. Just like pigeon in Hegdish is a matir of Hegdish, allows me to use the Hegdish for my own purposes, so too, with regard to this world, everything in this world, and all benefits I want to enjoy thereof, that has the status of Hegdish. In order to be matir, I need a pigeon. What's my pigeon? The pigeon is a bracha. I acknowledge that this benefit that I have is from Hashem, He's the Creator, and therefore now that's Poda the Hegdish. Oh. Says Rabbeinu David Parado. By the way, you may be familiar with Rabbeinu David Parado, not so much for his Chasdei David, but he wrote a super commentary on Yoredeya. He wrote a super commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs, and his Pirush on Rashi Al HaTorah is a classic. All the names of his farm, he has about 10 farm that he wrote, he lived about 3.5 centuries ago, all have the word David in it, because his name was Rabbi David. And he writes that in the case of mitzvos, who am I to do a mitzvah? Just like who am I to be nene from a material, physical pleasure that I want to enjoy, I have to be poda hegdesh, so too, and with the Kal Vachomer, he says, if I want to implement a mitzvah, I also need a matir. And he says that the matir is the bracha. The bracha, in the case of kachei kachim, which are mitzvahs, is the pigeon on the highest level. And that's what the Tosefta means when it says "b'chein birchas hamitzvos." So it comes out that according to Chasdei David, the concept of a matir, which we associate with birchas hanenim, extends and applies even to birchas hamitzvah. And what's the matir for a mitzvah? I need to be matir the mitzvah, which is kodesh kachim, through the bracha. The bracha itself is a matir. It allows me to say that I acknowledge that what I'm doing here and what I'm doing now is not some sort of secular, mundane action that I enjoy for my own benefits, but I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. As I was thinking, this the Chasdei David doesn't say, but maybe you could say the following. That if you have a mitzvah that needs a pigeon, that's because there is no bracha in the mitzvah. But if you had a mitzvah that has a bracha built into the mitzvah, in other words, the bracha itself is part of the fiber and the structure of the mitzvah, that doesn't need a pigeon. The pigeon is already built in to the mitzvah per se. So, let's talk about Nesias Kapayim. If this be the case, perhaps we could go back to Rabbi Loza ben Shamua. Rabbi Loza ben Shamua is of the opinion that there is no bracha on Nesias Kapayim, because Nesias Kapayim has to be fulfilled within a Seder of Tefillah. Right? When do we fulfill? Right? We have the Yushalmi, which I think I re-quoted to you here on page 2 of Yemar Makomos, that there's no such thing as Nesias Kapayim without Tefillah. And the answer is that since Birchas Kohanim, or Nesias Kapayim, is integrated into the structure of Tefillah, therefore it's embellished by the brachos of Tefillah, becomes one entity, so to speak, with the kium of Tefillah, and if that be the case, then it doesn't require a bracha. Okay, so then what we're saying is that Nesias Kapayim, insofar as it's part of a Seder HaBrachos within that framework, it doesn't require Birchas HaMitzvah. So why did Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua institute a Birchas HaMitzvah? So what I'd like to do is study with you the Rambam. Most of these Rambams you have on your page, not all of them. I couldn't recopy the whole Rambam here. But we're going to start in Perek Yudalid of Hilchas Tefillah, and we're going to study the Rambam's presentation of the Seder of Nesias Kapayim. And the Rambam has it divided up into two parts. In Halacha Gimel, he has the Seder of Nesias Kapayim Begvulin outside the Mikdash. Ketzad hi Nesias Kapayim Begvulin. And then in Halacha Tes, he's got Ketzad Birchas Kohanim Bemikdash. Okay. Where do you expect that the Rambam would codify the Birchas HaMitzvah that we saw here from Lozman and Shamua? Would you find it in Halacha Gimel? Or would you find it in Halacha Tes? Neither. There are moments in both. Pili Plum. Take a look at the Rambam. You'll tell me that I wrote the Rambam just for the shiur. But the Rambam came before Berzon, right? By about 1,000 years. And what does the Rambam say? Ketzad hi nesias kapai b'gvulin. And he goes through the whole Seder. V'yeshe'a g'yeshlef tzibul avoda kishi yomer ritzei kol ha'konim omdim b'beis ha'kneses nekarmim koman holchim yom l'duchin omdim sham p'neim l'mula heichal. We call it teva, heichal. We discussed this once in the past. Achareim klapei ha'am et vosem k'fufos. And the Rambam has this whole intricate discussion about how when it's time for the bracha, they have to turn around, they have to face the tzibur, the am, they have to be poshet es poseim, akbiyim yideim. And then, what happens? The shliach tzibur opens up by saying, yivarech echa, right, shliach tzibur, but makri osam mila b'mila. I would have expected that at this particular juncture, the Rambam would have formulated the requirement of Birchas Kohanim. Instead, he goes right into the bracha, together with the Shliach Tzibur. He tells the Tzibur that Kol Ha'am Onim Amen. And then the Shliach Tzibur, after completing the three brachos, completes Birchas HaShalom, and then the whole story of the Kohanim. Now he has an halacha test, Ketzad Birchas Kohanim B'Mikdash. Maybe here the Rambam is going to whisper a couple of words about Birchas Kohanim. And here too, it's in a very profound way, it's omitted. HaKohanim Olam L'Duchin, Ach Sheshlimu Avodas Tomit Shel Shachar. We'll speak about this Rambam Yitz Hashem later if we have a chance, that the Rambam has Birchas Kohanim after the Tomit Shel Shachar. He does not mention a word about Birchas Kohanim after Tomit Shel Ben Arbayim. Okay, that's a different topic entirely. And then he tells you how the Kohanim raise their arms, and how far the arms go up, and the Esposem Pshutos, and Kohen Gadol. He's not allowed to lift up his arms that high, L'mal Mi'en Min Arash, because of the Tzitz. And then, once again, Makri Osam Mila B'Mila, Kiderech Sha'osim B'Gvulim, and he goes through the whole state. So the Rambam, I think in a very high profile, very profound way, omits the mention of the bracha, of the mitzvah for Birchas Kohanim. We'll see in just a minute where the Rambam reminds himself that he forgot to mention a word about the bracha. But in any event, I believe that the Rambam in Perek Yudalet deliberately omitted Birchas HaMitzvah on Nesias Kapayim, whether it's in Halacha Gimel, in the Seder of Nesias Kapayim B'Gvulin, or in Halacha Tes, in the Seder Nesias Kapayim B'Mikdash, the Rambam is trying to send us a message over here. And that is that the Nesias Kapayim doesn't require a bracha. So where does the Rambam, so to speak, figuratively, bang himself on the head and say, wait a minute, I think I forgot to mention something? That's only in Halacha Yud Beis. What happens in Halacha Yud Beis? Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam refers to a sugya in Rosh Hashanah. Is it on your page? No. Okay. So I think I put it maybe on the earlier page a week ago. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has an entire discussion about the Kohanim, if they desire to add their own brachas, and what's the deal? Are they allowed to do so?
No,
they're not allowed to do so. Now, notice the Rambam doesn't mention exactly why they're not allowed to do so. The Rambam says in Halacha Yud Beis, "Ein hakohanim rashaim b'chol makom lahosif bracha al shlosh sapsukim," and this is all based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And he gives you various examples of brachos that they would like to, that they would perhaps like to add. And the Rambam says this is to add, and it's illegal. Then, in the context of this discussion, enjoining the Kohanim from adding their own bracha, the Rambam, so to speak, figuratively, wakes up out of his slumber, and he mentions all the details of our sugya in Sota and Daf Lamed Tes that we learned about Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, the question and answer about what they should be saying on the way up, on the way down. Says the Rambam, B'shashe kol kohen ola leduchin. When a kohen is on his way up, he gets himself ready. Kshu oker raglov lalos. Then Omer, he should recite Yehi Ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu shetia habracha zos shetzivisanu levarches amcha Yisrael bracha shlema. Okay, the Rambam has a little bit more of an embellishment than we have in our sugya. V'al yehi ba michshol v'avon me'ato v'yadom. Now, we're ready for a second tefillah, or call it a second, in this case, bracha, because before, when he's on his way up, the Kohen asks Hashem, Yiratzon fanecha, that this bracha that I'm about to bench should be Levarech bracha shlema without any mikshal avon. Now the Rambam says the Kohanim are ready for the bracha. Kodem sheyatzir panav levarech hasa'am. Right before that last activity or action that kicks off the mitzvah of birchas Kohanim, levarech baruch ata Hashem elokeinu melech haolam shekidshanu v'kedushas shel aram mitzvah baruch hasa'am yisrael b'yah. That's Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, correct? Now the Rambam says, we're not finished. He says, the acharkach, after he finishes the bracha, maser pavle tzibur, maser levarcham, etc., etc., kirk shemaser pano benat tzibur, after sheishlim, omer, asinu mashe gazarta aleinu, we did what we were commanded to do, Asei imanu kmo shetachtanu hashkifu mankashkom neshmayim uborech es amcha es Yisrael. So notice Rabosai that the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Yudalet and all the way up till Halacha Yudbeis, not inclusive, the Rambam presents the Seder of Birchas Kohanim in all its detail, goes through it meticulously, but he leaves out the bracha. When does the Rambam decide to notify us about the bracha? When he gets to the sugya in Sota, he starts this halacha in Halacha Yudbeis with the sugya in Rosh Hashanah that the Kohanim are now not allowed to add their own bracha, and now he adds the sugya, he codifies the sugya in Sota, which number one requires a Yehi Ratzon before they go up to Duchen. That's what he calls Kisha Oker Raglov. Number two, a bracha before Birchas Kohanim, and finally a bracha after Birchas Kohanim, in which once again the Kohen turns to Hashem and he asks Hashem to fulfill that which he, capital H, promised Hashkifu Monkotshcha Breikas Amcha Es Yisrael. And I would give the Rambam certainly an excellent grade for codifying the Gemara in Sota that we learned today, because the Gemara in Sota actually integrates its discussion about what the Kohanim should be reciting before they go up to Duchen, and what they should be reciting after they finish the Birchas Kohen, together with Rabbi Lozov and Shamua, sandwiched here in the middle, the bracha of the Kohanim, Asher Kidshanu Mikdushas Shalom Tzivanu Levarech Samo Yisrael. So it's very, very strange, and those who are familiar with the Seder HaRambam will know that the Rambam is not just Mabakach. The Rambam is trying to teach us something very important. For this Rabosai, we're going to fast forward for a moment to Perek Tesvav of Hilchas Tefillah, and let's take a look at two very profound Rambams in Halachas Vav and Zayin. The Rambam says the following. We'll start with Halacha Zayin. That's really the main Rambam that I wanted to study with you. The Rambam says, after telling us in Halacha Vav that every single Kohen has a mitzvah saseh to be noseh es kapov, and even a Rasha, he says, should be noseh es kapov, says the Rambam, v'al tisma v'toma. Perhaps you're sitting in the audience, you're hearing, you're listening to the Kohanim, and all of a sudden, at Psakasha, something crosses your mind. Ma toil, birchas hejit zeh. You know, if I was in Radin, I was getting the bracha from the Chofetz Chaim, nicha. But I'm sitting here and I'm getting a bracha from whoever it is. I mean, and he barely can break his teeth. Not only that, the Rambam says he might even be a Rasha. Says the Rambam, this is the Yisoda Yisodos of Birchas Kohen, and he says, She'ein kibul ha-bracha toli b'kohen. Don't think that the bracha is coming from the Kohen, and therefore who's this Kohen, with all due respect to the Mevarech me. El HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the bracha is coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. She'nemar v'samu eshmi al b'nei Yisrael va liavarchem. HaKohenim, what are the Kohenim doing here? Maybe they're Shluchei Hashem, I don't know. Right, Kohenim, Shluchei Rachmaninu. But the Rambam says the following. HaKohenim osim mitzvah she'nitztavu bo. They are simply fulfilling a mitzvah that they have to fulfill. Vakarish Baruch Hu berachmav mevarech Yisrael kechefto. But Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the one with his compassion, is the one who bestows the brach. Nu Rabosai, let's go back now to Perek Yudah. We said that the Rambam seems to deliberately omit Birchas HaMitzvah, the brach of Ketzora, in Birchas Kohen and Nesias Kapayim. Both in Halacha Gimel in Perek Yudalet and in Halacha Tes in Halacha Perek Yudalet. The answer is, we said, that based on the pattern and the rules that govern Birchas HaMitzvah, since the Nesias Kapayim is integrated into a Seder HaBrachas, therefore, there's no bracha. Says the Rambam, this is Halacha Yudbeis in Perek Yudalet. This I heard from my Rebbe once, many years ago, in a Tshuva Drasha, in a Yahrzeit Drasha. He said the following. He said that the Rambam wants to tell us that although the bracha of Birchas Kohanim, and the bracha of Ketzora is a bracha of mitzvah, doesn't belong to Nesias Kapayim according to the rules and regulations, but there's another reason why this bracha emerged and was instituted by whom? Rav Elazar ben Shavua, for an entirely different reason. Not because every mitzvah, as we saw in Gemara Pesachim, requires a Birchas HaMitzvah. That rule doesn't apply over here. But it's a separate halacha and a unique halacha. And it requires a bracha because what the bracha is declaring is that, what? It's kind of like anava. But what is meant when you say Asher Kitsharim Mitzosim Mitzivan? What was the point in Dafka in the Sias Kapayim to go out of your way, even though it's not necessary? The Rambam says
it's not my bracha; it's a bracha of Kashma.
Exactly, Vitzivanu. It's not my bracha. I don't have bialus over this bracha. If I had bialus over the bracha, you would be right in asking your question, who needs your bracha, with all due respect? The Birchas Hedges, or maybe even worse than Birchas Hedges. But the answer is, this bracha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I am doing is, I'm only a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now wait a second. Let's not undermine the Kohanim. Let's not push them down too low. I mean, after all, the Kohanim are the ones who are facilitating this bracha, right? They're an important conduit here to bring the bracha. And which word in the bracha indicates that the Kohen is, in a sense, has an active role to play here in bringing the bracha of Hashem down to Klal Yisrael? The Ava. The Ava means that I as a Kohen, I'm not a Kohen, but I as a Kohen have to do the maximum that I can to bring this bracha down from Hashem. And in order to do so, I have to represent my tzibur, the Ava. Ah, if this be the case, if the bracha of Nesias Kapayim is a special category, and Rav Elazar ben Shavua claims that he deserves a medal for this, you know, an Arichas Yomim, if that's the purpose of the bracha, the Gemara says, wait a minute, before the Kohen goes up to Duchenne, before he starts his Duchenne, and certainly after he completes his bracha, he's got to make some declaration that indicates that the bracha is not coming from him. So we're going to use three different methods to arrive at this goal, to knock it in, as we say, you know, knock the nail in, right? Number one, of course, the Birchas HaMitzvah itself, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are mitzava me, it's not my bracha, you asked me to do it, and I'm doing it there. And then the Gemara says, V'chimahadar ape mitzibur mai omar, he's completed his bracha, what should he say? Ribono shel olam, asinu mashe gazarta aleinu. It's not my bracha. I'm just doing what you commanded me to do. That was a mandate. And then, therefore Hashem, I hope that I was successful. That now, as a result of this request, so to speak, that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through our kingdom of the Gzeirah, should bring down the bracha, same one of Kemoshe Avkachton. Or the Gemara asks, V'chi Akar Kare Mai Omar. When he goes up to Duchen, what should he say? And the answer is, Yiratzel Fevinu, Lefne Hashem Elokeinu, Mufanech Hashem Elokeinu, Shetei Bracha Zu, again, Shetzi Visanu Levarech. You commanded us to make this bracha. And it should be a bracha shlema, lo yehepa michshal v'avon. I really hope that I can fulfill my role as a conduit, as a shliach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring down the bracha from on top, but it's not my bracha. And I was thinking out loud that maybe you could add to what the Rav is saying, and this is especially true on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and the davening, that we have long introductions of the shliach tzibur before he starts, he embarks on his endeavor to represent the tzibur, because there's a lot at stake on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And some of the most famous Chazonish Negunim, especially the one before Musa, what's called? Hinnini. I remember my childhood, you know, Chazon, I don't know if anyone's old enough to have heard of Chatzkel Arida, who was the famous Chazon in Brooklyn in my father's shul. So I remember the Hinnini of Chatzkel Arida. I mean, I still could shake from it today, you know. And what it means is that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayeyim Pifios Alpha Beis Yisrael, Shaloni Koshel, that we should be, you know, the right shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here I want you to turn to page 2 of your Maram Mekomos. I'm just going to take a break to drink something. So again, just to summarize, the Rambam omits the Birchas Hamadbea, you know, the Birchas HaMitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, until Halacha Tesvav, and Halacha Tesvav, which the Rambam opens up with what? Who remembers? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah. That you're not allowed, the Kohen's not allowed to what? Dan his own bracha. What's that Halacha all about? Yeah, you might say it's Maltosim. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's Maltosim in this big sense. You really have to be a Baki in the Sugi Malposa, but I would say a different reason.
None of them are coming from him anyway.
Exactly. If he were to add his own bracha, it would indicate in the sandwich that, you know, the whole thing from A to Z is all my own bracha name. I want to emphasize, and the bracha itself has to be embellished in such a way, sandwiched in such a way, that it emphasizes that the bracha is not the Kohen's bracha. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha, Vani Avarchem. And if he, the Kohen, takes the option of adding his own bracha, he's basically usurping HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha. He's saying, you know, I'll decide what I want to give. The bracha comes from me. Ah, now that the Rambam opens up Halakha Tesvav with the Isur for the Kohen to add what he calls bracha mishalo, that's the language of the Rambam, and the Kohen now has to acknowledge that the bracha is not his, now we need a bracha. We need a bracha that says, V'tzivanu, that Hashem, you have commanded me in this bracha. And before I go up, I'm going to emphasize that. And when I come down as well, I'm going to emphasize that.
And this didn't exist before Rav Elazar ben Shammua?
It didn't exist before Rav Elazar ben Shammua. Why? Because before Rav Elazar ben Shammua, they analyzed this mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim and the laws of Birchas HaMitzvah from the perspective of universal halachas. Comes along Rav Elazar ben Shammua and he institutes, it's not enough for the Kohen to make the bracha. It's not enough for the Kohen to say, you know what, I cannot add another single bracha, you know, my own. Mum's the word. I just got to follow my instructions. No, says Rav Elazar ben Shammua, that's not going to be sufficient. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go out of our way. Again, this is a non-halachic consideration. From the strict laws of halacha, from the pages of Shas, you will not find Rav Elazar ben Shammua. He's coming forward with something that's brand new. He is saying it's not enough that the Kohen fulfill meticulously the laws and the strictures of Birkas Kohenim and implement the mitzvah. We're going to embellish it in such a way, we're going to utilize every single possible method and leave no stone unturned in order to emphasize this point. I would even suggest, again, this is going a little bit too far, that probably what Rabbi Loza ben Shamua realized in his generation that was not true before him was that people were not taking this bracha seriously. They had that attitude that, you know, maybe in the previous generations they were gedolim. By the way, you'll hear this even today. You know, people will say, you know, they're not willing to say Yiftach v'dor, Kishmul v'dor. Let's see who the gedolim of that time. And for me personally, I'll be honest with you, it's very hard for me. You know, I learned Baruch Soloveitchik, and it's very hard for me to get used to anybody else. You know, there are great gedolim out there. You know, but I don't have that Yiras HaKavod that I should have for them. You know, my brother-in-law told me that my son-in-law told me that his Rashiva encouraged them to do this whole school thing. I'm not even going to talk to you about it because I can't sleep at night thinking what a Litvish Rosh Hashiva would tell his Talmidim to do. Where's it coming from? Did the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, do these kinds of things? You know, in cemeteries in the middle of the night? I mean, I just can't understand this. I mean, the Rosh Hashanah used to tell us that Reb Chaim was opposed to even visiting a cemetery. You go to a cemetery when you have to go. If you don't have to go, you don't go. Now, I'm not saying that we have to accept the halachic man, but to see men akotzel akotzel, that a Rosh Hashiva today is considered, I'm not going to mention his name, you know, everyone follows Kerem for him and so forth and so on, that he encourages the yeshiva to go out to the middle of the night for the entire night and for schools. And my son-in-law admitted to me that the next day was completely shot from learning. You know, the Gemara tells us that one of the Simoni Shoita is someone who sleeps in the cemetery. So what should I do, Rav Osai? I don't know. You know, Hashem should, you know, is probably gonna beat me up for it. But it's hard. You know, my father, Lev Shalom, was very close to Dr. Belkin. Dr. Belkin was a go. When Dr. Belkin passed away, and Norman Lamb became president. And again, this is not in any way to take away from Norman Lamb's powers, but my father just couldn't get used to Norman Lamb. He was like a pishinger compared to Dr. Belkin. He was, first of all, 50 years younger than Dr. Belkin. He was not a product of the Lithuanian yeshivas, where Dr. Belkin was considered an elite back in Litha. He had Kol Tarku in his back pocket, besides his PhD in Greek and what's it called? Latin and Greek and classics and whatever is, you know what I'm saying? So what happens is, Rabosai, our challenge is, and I'm getting off a little on a tangent, is that we have to appreciate the gedolim that we have today. And we can't just, you know, it's very easy to be a big shot and say, well, I remember Amolik and gedolim, you know, from the Free of the Gedurus and this and that. And then that's it. And then we become frozen, and we become very cynical about Jewish life. Yes,
I don't know if you noticed, but the ELC is sponsoring an all night trip to Kfaros in New York next month. So I have
nothing to do with it. You know.
Okay.
I have nothing to do with that. School is and I have
Teiku.
Yeah. The ELC has many different personalities and many different heads, you know. The only thing is that the Gemara tells us in the Masechta Brachos that, I forget who it was, Rabba or Abaye, you know, they warned him. No, it's in the Masechta Kedushin, I think. They warned him that there's some, like, seven-headed monster outside the Beis Medrash, and he went out and he killed the monster. You know? Apparently we're not so in favor of many heads. Took you a while yourself to get the punchline there. Okay, good. So if you're looking on page 2 of Yomar Mekomos, how are we doing on the clock? We have 10 more minutes. I hope I can squeeze in here.
Yeah, more than 10 minutes.
Okay, we'll see. So Rabbi Nosson, if you recall, addressed the issue of Amida. You remember this discussion that we had. And how do we derive the requirement of Amida in Birchas Kohanim? And he says the following. Hareyu Omer, I should have brought in a chumash. Oh, we have a chumash. Do you want to do me a favor, Yisrael, if I can be mishamish with the mishamish with the koyim? If you don't mind opening up to Dvarim Yud, it should be Parshas Ekev, if I remember correctly. Let's look at this pasuk. Rabbi Nosson makes a big deal about this pasuk. In the Gemara it says, L'sharso l'varach b'shmo. Is that what you have? But there's a ratio to this pasuk.
Okay.
Pasuk Ches? Yeah, what does it say there at the beginning of the Pasuk? Does it say Lamo just Nashem?
By Sayyid Hashem, Meshev the Levi, Lazarum Brith Hashem, Lamothni Hashem, the Sharsa, very Mishadim Mazet.
So the three words before the Sharsa, don't close this because I need it, is Lamo just Nashem, correct? So Rabbi Kivega here in the Gilyon HaShas asks the following question. He says, how does the Gemara, how does Rav Nosson derive the conclusion that there's a requirement of Amida? And it says, so the Gemara says, and how do you know that Lasharso is Amida? Right, it says Lasharso Levart Bishma. So Rabbi Nosson says, to the same extent that Lasharso requires Amida, Levart Bishma requires Amida. So the Gemara asks, and how do you know that Lasharso requires Amida? And the answer is this Siv, and the Gemara quotes now Posuk, which is later on in Sefer Tvarim. We've seen this before in Parshas Re'eh, I believe, in Dvarim Yudches, Lamod Lasharis. Frank Rabbi Kvega, why does Rabbi Nosson have to stretch his arm out to another Posuk? Mineu Bey, right here in this Posuk, it says Lamod Lefashem Lasharso. No, there are two parts here, right? Yechiel, there's Lasharso and Levarach Bishmo. And Rav Nosson is making an equation. He's saying, just like Lasharso requires Amida, so to Levarach Bishmo requires Amida. In fact, the Gemara, how do you know that Lasharso requires Amida? Dechsiv, a pasuk in Varm Yudches. In fact, Rabbi Kiveger, why does Gemara have to answer the question by quoting a pasuk in Yudches to prove that Lasharso requires Amida? This very pasuk says Lasharso, Lamod Lifnei Hashem Lasharso. Lamod Lifnei Hashem Lasharso. Lasharso requires Amida. So I thought the answer perhaps lies in Rashi. Do you have Rashi the Yisrael? I have republished for you, reprinted on your page. What does Rashi say?
Rashi where?
Okay, so Rashi.
Rashi.
Let's see. Where's? Oh, it's a little bit early. Okay, forget it. That's not going to help us. Okay. So what is the beginning of the pasuk? Let's go back to the pasuk, even without Rashi.
Okay, just the pasuk is.
Does it say lahavdil over there?
Yeah, but hivdil Hashem. Shevet Alevi.
Shevet Alevi. So this is the Havdalah of Shevet Levi, correct?
Right.
So the two ways of learning, Lamod Lefnei Hashem L'Sharso. Rabbi Kivega learned it, Lamod Lefnei Hashem L'Sharso means that when the Mishares, they have to be Omid. And if you take the word Amida, put it together with Lashares, and Rav Kivega's question, I don't need any other pasuk to tell you that Lashares is Lama. But there's another way of learning this pasuk, that Lama of Hashem is a reference to Avdolas Halevim. And that's how Kosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm standing in front of a group of an audience of people that are sitting down. And I want to call on the valedictorian of the class. So I said, please stand. You know what I'm saying? Please stand means we want to separate you from the rest of the tzibur. That's what's going on up here. This is all of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, tell the Levim to stand up and separate themselves as the unique Kiddush of Shevet Levi. Maybe that's what Lamo Lefnei Hashem L'Sharso is. Now if we fast forward to Dvarim Yudches, we'll see why the Gemara wants to quote another pasuk. Because there it says Lamod Lasharis, it's talking specifically about the act of Sherus. What does it say there?
Pasuk
Zion, yeah, what does it say?
Pasuk Zion says it's over here.
Okay. Right, so now the subject of this pasuk is the Sheiros itself, not the Havdalah. Our first pasuk, which is in Dvarim Yud, the theme of that pasuk is Havdalah Salavim. Havdalah Salavim, that's Amida. Amida Vitar is Havdalah. Here it's the Amida Vitar is Sheiros, because that's the subject of this pasuk. In any event, these psukim get even more complicated as you go along. Take a look at the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanya Idach, on the third line in your page, Kosev Varchu B'Nesias Kapayim, the Kohen have to lift their arms up.
It's
And how do you know that the Kohanim have to lift up their arms? I mean, in the parsha of Kosev Varch, it doesn't say explicitly Nesias Kapayim. So the Gemara has Xer Shova. Here in the parsha in Naso, it says Kosev Varch, the word bracha. And in Vayikra Tess, now we get to Sefer Vayikra, the Torah says, Vayisa Aaron es Yodov El Ha'am Vayavarchem. Again, the Lashon is Bracha. And it says, Vayisa es Yodov. So you need to see us Yodayim. Mala Halon Benesias Kapayim. Afkan Benesias Kapayim. So we have now the parsha, the mitzvah of the Nesias Kapayim in Parshas Noso. That's actually this week's parsha. And then we have back in Vayikra Tess the case of Aaron, where he too is Nosei as Kapo Vayivarchem. And this is going. And this parsha in Vayikra Tess is the source for the requirement of Nesias Kapayim in Berachas Kohen. Malahalon Benesias Kapayim Afkan Benesias Kapayim. Now, Barbosa, we just finished a whole sugyan sota that established that Nesias Kapayim is not the bracha of the Kohen, you know, his personal blessing, but rather the bracha that Hashem commands us, these three sugyan, these three brachos that are codified here in Parshas Nosa. So let's just see. If we go back to Aaron HaKohen in Vayikra Tess, Vayisa Aaron es Yodov, Vayivarchem. But what kind of a bracha was Aaron bestowing on the people at that particular juncture in Jewish history? Well, that's a machlok between Rashi and the Ramban. If you take a look at Rashi in the second paragraph on your page, Rashi says Birchas Kohen, which is beautiful, because if indeed the bracha that Aaron was bestowing on the people was Birchas Kohen Vayivarchem, that could be the source for Nesias Kapayim in Birchas Kohen. And Rashi spells it out even further. He doesn't leave you any room for mistake. He says, Yivarecha, Yoher, Yisa, the three brachos. The Ramban, on the other hand, says, he's not convinced, but he thinks that Aaron, Piresh, Kapov, Hashamayim. Hashamayim means up to the heavens. Ubirech es ha'am. What does he mean, Ubirech es ha'am? What does Ramban mean? With his own bracha. He gave his own bracha. And I'll prove it to you. The Ramban says, Kasher osa Shlomo. Shenem Rav Yamud Shlomo Fem Yizbach Hashem. Vayifrosh es kapov Hashamayim.
How does that prove it?
I'm just saying what the Ramban wants to show you.
Not you, man. How does the Ramban prove it?
No. He's not proving it. He's just showing you that very often the leader of the people bestows a bracha on the people. We saw it in Shlomo Melech, and way before Shlomo Melech, we saw it in the case of Aaron. My only point is, and I can't say anything about this, is how is the Ramban understanding our sugya in the Gemara Sotah, the source for Nesias Kapayim is this bracha of Aaron? You know, the fact that Aaron decided when he would bestow his own bracha that he would lift up his hands.
It's not clear.
I'm saying, does that clearly indicate that that every Kohen who's Makai and Mitzvah Nesias Kapayim has to lift up his hands? I don't know.
There's no clear. This proof is because Moshe did it, was low, he didn't command it. In other words, for a Kohen to do it, you have to have Kriya. You have to say, Kohen, right? So you have to.
I see what you're saying by Kriya. I was thinking in Avelus, you know, I got lost with an eye.
I'm sorry. Not that kind of Kriya. No.
So wait a minute. So again,
there's no call to it.
I'm just asking the following question. If Aaron was, you know, spontaneously inspired to bestow a bracha on the people, how does that become a halachic source for Nesias Kapayim, for lifting up the hands? I think Rashi fits in a lot better.
Maybe the tzura of the way you do it is that you have to lift your hands.
I don't know. I mean, if I were to tell you that Shlomo Melech did it that way, would you say that?
But it says that he did.
He did.
How could he?
So I'm just saying, yeah, that's why I don't understand it. I'm saying when somebody bestows a bracha and he's not a Kohen, if this is the way he does it, does that prove that the Kohen has to, you know, there's a mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim? I don't know. It fits in a lot better with Rashi. Fine. Now the Gemara goes on and says the following. Kasha le'le Rav Yonasan. This is not Reb Nosson, this is Reb Yonis. What's bothering Reb Yonis? Reb Yonison says the following. You've just established that the source for the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim is the parsha in Vayikra Tess. Well, if that be the case, then we should limit the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim to those specific moments of Nesias Kapayim of Aaron HaKohen back in Vayikra Tess. Why? E malahalon Kohen Gadol. If the case of Aaron HaKohen is the Kohen Gadol, is therefore what? A Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim. Again, you're deriving Nesias Kapayim from Aaron, maybe only a Kohen Gadol is chayav. Not only that, the occasion was Rosh Chodesh, and it was within the context of Avodas HaTzibur. So this is Rabbi Yonason's kashrut, meaning it's not fair to assume, and we had a similar kashrut based on the Ramban's interpretation, to assume that what Aaron was doing is going to set in stone forevermore the requirements of Birchas Kohanim for all eternity. Then let's limit to the context and the conditions of Aaron bestowing this bracha. So the truth is that I don't understand this kasha of Rabbi Yonason. What is the source in the Torah? Where is it in the Torah that we have a basis for the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim? Is it a Vayikra Tess? It's a Parshas Nasa. I mean, every cheder yingle knows that that Kosev Arches Bnei Yisrael, that's the source for the bracha. Now it's true that Aaron HaKohen gave the bracha at the Siyum HaVodah. You know, there was a whole, if you take a look, I don't have the parsha in front of me, if you take a look, you'll see that there was a whole Avodas HaTzibur. Avodas HaTzibur means, you know, the various karbanos. And that's when he gave the bracha. But if you ask me, where is the Ikar Chiyuv, where is the main source, or the Makar, if you will, for the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, it's not in that parsha at all. The Chiyuv of Birchas Kohanim is derived from the parsha in Noso, which is not addressing the Kohen Gadol at all, has nothing to do with Avodas HaTzibur, and therefore I honestly don't understand exactly what Reb Yonason is bothered by over here.
Is the answer.
Maybe that's the answer. I don't know.
It's bothered my wife.
Oh, okay. Okay. You remind me of a story. You know, a woman came into Shia. We were learning Chulin once. There were 100 guys in the Shia. And she sits down. And when the Rav finishes the Shia, we were learning Shkita. She says, "Can a woman raise a point here?" You know, all of a sudden, the whole place was like silent. Could you imagine a woman coming into the Rav Shia? We're over 100 males. So the Rav says no. And like, we're all shocked, you know, the Rav is like a liberal, you know, he actually advocated women learning Torah and so on. He gave the opening shiur at the Stern College Based Medrash program, but he says, no, a woman can't make a point. So the kids are, she starts screaming. And the guys in the shiur started pushing her outside the door, and they started fighting with her. Not physically, but I mean verbally. Turns out, who is this woman? She was a Nazi by the name of Schmidt, who was there is a Nazi party in America, right? Neo-Nazi. And she was at the head of the campaign. She led the campaign in the New York State government, in the New York State Senate, to outlaw Shechita. Imagine this woman, Yimach Shema, comes all the way to hear Rav Soloveitchik's shiur on Shechita in order to ask a question about the inhumanity of Shechita, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know. Was it Ruach HaKodesh? I have no way of knowing. And amongst the Talmidim, when we always reminisce about this episode, we always ask Shalom's question. No one had the chutzpah. Maybe did you know who she was?
Probably did.
Anyway. So this is Rabbi Yonason's kasha. We'll try to wrap it up. And l'chora, what we see in this gemara of Rabbi Yonason is something very, very important. There are really two parshiyos in the Torah and two kiyumim to Nesias Kapayim. One is the parsha in Noso, and one is the parsha of Avodah Shebemigdash, the Kohen Gadol, and Aaron HaKohen. And these two mitzvahs are fundamentally different one from the other. You recall that we learned the Mishnah that after the Avoda, when the Kohen recited the Birchas, the Nesias Kapayim, they had to mention the Shema Miyuchad, and they combined all the brachas together. And in Gvulin, the mitzvah of the Nesias Kapayim that evolves from the source in Parashas Naso doesn't have those requirements. So there really are two distinct mitzvahs of Birchas Kohanim. Now here I want to reveal to you a secret that you might not know. The Smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos, I'm sorry, correct myself, the Rasag, Rav Sajid Gaon, in his Sefer Mitzvahs, counts Nesias Kapayim as two separate mitzvahs in Taryat. He has the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim in Gvulin, based on Parshas Noso, and he has the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim in Avoda, based on Vayibrit Tes. Fascinating, is it not? But what the Gemara wants to establish here is that these two mitzvahs are not unrelated to each other. For example, we don't have the Avoda, the way that the Avoda existed at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but we do have an Avoda that substitutes for the Beis HaMikdash. What's that? Tefillah. So we proved over and over again in the last, I don't know, how long we're learning Nesias Kapayim, it's almost a month already, that Nesias Kapayim is part of Tefillah. In fact, the Shliach Tzibur, according to most Rishonim, with the exception of Rabbeinu Tam, is the one who's... No, and Rabbeinu Yehuda, if you remember, in Tosfos says that even Rabbeinu Tam admits that the Shliach Tzibur can recite the bracha as he feeds it to the Kohanim. And the reason for that is because the Nesias Kapayim is an integral part of Tefillah, it's not a hefsek. We pointed out that if there are no Kohanim, the Shliach Tzibur is going to say Elokeinu v'Elokeinu v'Oseinu with a bracha. That too indicates that Nesias Kapayim is part of Tefillah. And furthermore, the last bracha of Shmon Esrei is called the bracha of Birchas Kohanim, all of Shas. You see that it's an integral part of Tefillah. And why? Because Neshalma Parm Sfaseinu, instead of the Parv and the Avoda, what we have today is Tefillah. So what Rav Yonason is pointing out is that if there's a halacha and a special mitzvah, Birchas Kohanim, following the Avoda, after Aaron HaKohen completed the Olos and the Zvachim and the Shlomim and so forth, he was Noseis Kappa, and the Gemara says that from that Nesias Kapayim, that mitzvah in Mikdash, we're going to derive conclusions and establish conditions for the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim and Bigvulim, namely that you require Nesias Kapayim, then maybe, just maybe, we should define the Avoda in a very specific way. And what the Gemara wants to do is, it wants to suggest that with regard to that unique mitzvah of Avoda, the Beis HaMikdash, what you require is, number one, Avodas Kohen Gadol. Number two, you require the special Avoda of Yom HaKippurim. And finally, it's considered the Avodas HaTzibur. When those conditions exist, then the special unique mitzvah, which as I said, Rav Sajid Gaon counts in Taryag of Birchas Kohen and Bid Avoda, Bid Mikdash, that mitzvah emerges. The Gemara never had a question on the universal, general mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim from Parshas Noso, that is a mitzvah that doesn't depend upon Avodas HaMikdash, it does depend upon Avodas, as we said, Tefillah. And as far as that mitzvah is concerned, derived from the Parshas Noso, these requirements of Kohen Gadol, etc., etc., would not apply, but at least grant us that as far as the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim in Mikdash, which is a separate mitzvah, that should be limited by those conditions. The only thing I both say that bothers my mind is the following. Everything that we said fits into the Rambam's frame of reference. The Rambam says in his opening introduction to the Hilchos Tefillah that the mitzvah of Tefillah is Da'oraisa. So who disagrees with the Rambam? The Rambam. And the Ramban in his Hasogas to Sefer HaMitzvah says that he has thousands of proofs that Tefillah is only Derabbanan. So I don't get it. We're talking about the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim. The mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim is Doraisa. And everyone counts it in Taryah. And within the framework of the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim, we go back to the Mikdash, and we set it up as a mitzvah Avoda, and that mitzvah Avoda, when we don't have to base something, this is fulfilled through our Avoda, of Avadatem as Hashem Lekechem, Ezi Avoda Shebelev Zui Tefillah. That makes sense beautifully according to the Rambam Sheet. But if you hold like the Ramban that the whole institution of tefillah is a mitzvah derabbanan, how could it be that the mitzvah of Doraisa, of Birchas Kohen, which is derived from Parashas Naso, must be fulfilled within the framework of tefillah to such an extent that the Yerushalmi claims Ein Nesias Kapayim below tefillah? That doesn't make any sense. There's no Nesias Kapayim without tefillah. Nesias Kapayim is a mitzvah Doraisa, and tefillah is a mitzvah derabbanan. I'm tempted to think here that Reb Chaim would have a heyday, because Reb Chaim is famous for saying that even the Ramban agrees that tefillah is doraisa, albeit not as a chiyuv, but as a kiyuv mitzvah. And anyway, I wanted to leave you with that as food to come.
Well, you can say the same thing about the shofar too. The shofar is a doraisa, sticking it in the middle of tefillah.
Good, so I think the Ramban, in all fairness, would counter, and he would say, look, if you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of shofar in tefillah, fulfill the mitzvah of shofar outside the framework of tefillah. That's indeed reflected in that meaning of tefillah of Kiyas the Miyushah. But in the case of Nesias Kapayim, which is the mitzvah d'oraisa, there's no such thing as Nesias Kapayim outside of the framework of tefillah. According to Ramban, it's an oxymoron. You know, the one end you're telling me that the Torah mandates a mitzvah d'oraisa in the Nesias Kapayim, and on the other hand you're saying, well, that mitzvah cannot be fulfilled outside the framework of tefillah. That's very odd if you assume, like the Ramban against the Rambam, that tefillah is only
the Rambam.
What
does Kabbalah
come
back? Let's see what they do.
What do you say?
When the Kabbalahs come back, we'll see what they do.
I have a theoretical question and a practical question. Okay, the theoretical question is, we were talking about Tkiyas Mimusha. Did Tkiyas Mimusha become the Doraisa?
That's an interesting question. Can we fulfill our mitzvah Doraisa with Tkiyas Mimusha? I think the definite answer is yes. Except for Rashi. So Rashi has a very strange shita that Zechronus Malchus and Shofar is Doraisa. In order to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, because the Gemara says bameh and so on, but all other Rishonim will
say it's okay.
Because is only a rabbinic institution. It's only
That's what I'm thinking. What if the Baal Tokeya is thinking this is derabbanan, and you're thinking it's d'oraisa? Can you be yotze with his blowing?
Well, let me ask you a different question. You remind me of Rav Kivega about Noshim and Kiddush. You know, Kiddush? I already recited Kiddush in Shmon Esrei, right. So I was Yotze Doraisa, and a woman has a Chiv Doraisa, and I was already Yotze. Now I'm only Chayav Derabbanan al Kos. Can I be Motzi my wife, who's Chayav Doraisa? You know, famous Rav Kivega. So I always thought the answer to Rav Kivega, and I think we discussed it here when we were learning the Sefer Brachos, is that a mitzvah Derabbanan is also enough for Arvus, meaning the halach of Arvus that facilitates my being motzi you, can be achieved even with a mitzvah derabbanan.
Yeah, but
we have the Gemara about katan in Birchas Hamazon, right? So the katan ate a kibetza,
right,
and the gadol ate only a kizayis,
right?
So the question is, so that's maybe not what was the proof that we had. Just one second. Okay. I have to reorganize my thoughts, but there definitely was a proof that someone who's mechuyev derabbanan could be motzi someone who's mechuyev doraisa in Birkas HaMazon.
See, I learned Kiddush differently.
Not the case with Kohen.
Yeah. So I learned that the derabbanan had the power to be ma'aker from the Shmona Esrei, the mitzvah deoraisa, and substitute it for the derabbanan and put the deoraisa on alakos. And they had that power, and therefore you are not Yotze D'oraisa except under very limited circumstances with Kiddush in
that's in a pretty revolutionary Kiddush. So that maybe you're right. I'd have to see some proofs for that. You know, initially I'm a little bit skeptical, but
all right. But that's one thing. The second thing is, if you say that a Birkas Kohanim, if you say that is part and parcel of Tefillah. Mm-hmm.
You want to speak? You don't mind if I...
No, that's okay. It's part and parcel of tefillah. Now, if you're standing Shmona Esrei in order to be Yotze.
Oh, I remember this question, Alan. You once asked me this question. Yeah.
Do you answer Amen to the brachas, or you don't answer Amen to the brachas?
Right. That maybe that Amen is not a hefsek because you're fulfilling the mitzvah of brachas by receiving the bracha, and that's integrated into Shmona Esrei. Why should it be a hefsek?
Yeah. Right. Or.
And what does the Mishnah Berurah say? You're not supposed to answer Amen.
Yeah,
right.
Supposed to answer Amen.
Does he quote any original sources?
I've never seen anything.
If he can, maybe look that up, because I wouldn't be surprised if there's another sheet on this.
And the third thing is, this is.
I have another question: whether or not, which we didn't study, we spoke about Amen in Chazaras Hashatz, that the Rambam insists that it's an integral part of Chazaras Hashatz.
Well,
that the Tzibur has to answer Amen.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. We didn't get a chance to study the sugya of Amen in Birchas Kohanim. I think it's coming up here in Sota. Maybe that'll be our final shiur for Nesias Kapayim.
Because I don't answer.
But assuming for, you know, the argument, let's argue from the opposite position that Amen is not critical. Maybe what the Mishnah Berurah is advocating is that just listen to the Birchas Kohanim.
Yeah, yeah.
And that itself is a Kabbalah.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's what
he doesn't want to go another step. He doesn't want to go a step further and say that the Amen is a prerequisite to accept the bracha.
But even if you were to say that you would answer Amen to the Birchas Kohanim, would you answer Amen to the bracha of Asher Gisharim Tzavet
Tzivah? No.
You would not.
No, that for sure
correct.
Is... That's a business for the Kohanim themselves.
That's for sure. Okay. Let's say there was one last thing I wanted to ask you.
They say once that Reb Chaim Oizer visited Radin, and it was Yontif, I think, and the Chofetz Chaim was tittering. How am I going to be Mavarech with Reb Chaim Oizer in the... Mm-hmm. And so they say that when he got down from the Duchenin, he said the Asisa Kasha Tzivisoni out loud, you know, because he got so... He was so inspired. He says, basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you told me to do
it. I would never put
to do that. Zera, what chutz would I have to be Mavarech the Gadol Adar of Chaim Oizer? It's a story. I don't know if it's true.
The only other thing that I wanted to ask you is it's Kanira. Yeah, I'm not sure, but the Gemara talks all the time about Cohen is Oker, is Oker Raglaim, and going up to Duchen.
Right.
Nobody really says anything where they washed. Did they wash beforehand?
Talking about Netilas Yadayim. Lina, remind me that we have to cover that. There's one aspect that we didn't even touch upon.